Welcome to Spiritual Shenanigans, the podcast where science meets spirituality, where we explore the mysteries of the mind and the vastness of the universe. If you're someone who is fascinated by the stars and intrigued by the power of the mind and the depths of human consciousness, then join us as we delve into the realms of astral travel, alien encounters, and share tools and tips for practical spirituality. Each week, we'll journey beyond the ordinary, exploring topics that expand our awareness. Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, a scientist or a seeker, Spiritual Shenanigans offers a playful space where open minds come together to explore the extraordinary.
Hi, it's me, Jace, and welcome to the next episode of Spiritual Shenanigans. Today's episode is about Astral Projection Part 2.
Thank you, Jace, for that intro. So yes, as Jace mentioned, today we'll be having another deep dive into talking all about astral travel and astral projection. And the reason that we decided to do a part two is because our episode on astral projection was actually one of our most listened to episodes and one of the most popular episodes. And we realized that a lot of that episode was pretty introductory information for people that are just kind of getting into this work or maybe don't know too much about it. But we also wanted to do a little bit of a deeper dive for the people that might actually already be astral projecting or are already very familiar with maybe, you know, induction techniques into how to begin to astral project, but also have some deeper questions about it. So we're hoping that this will be an even more engaging and interesting conversation for those of you who are as interested in this topic as we are. And I will also say that this will probably be more of a Q&A type of format. I think Seda and I will be asking a lot of the questions, and Ryan will be doing most of the answering because he is our astral expert here. Jace also has some questions, I think, so he might also be doing that as well. Ryan's sitting here with four books filled with lots of fascinating stories that we can't wait to get into. But before we do that, I also just wanted to acknowledge that it has been a few weeks since we released an episode. We've been doing a lot of traveling for the holidays amongst the states, most of us, some of us in other dimensions, as always. But we are back now, and we will try our best to stay present here for the rest of this conversation tonight. So with that all being said, let's jump right in. And I think today I actually wanted to start out with this question, which takes me back to we had a big group of us here for Friendsgiving a few weeks ago, and Ryan was kind of doing his thing and talking about astral projection, and this was a question that came up that we thought would be really fun to explore tonight. And the question is for you, Ryan. What are your thoughts on someone who's in a committed relationship? So if you're in a committed relationship in the 3D, what is sort of the consensus in terms of whether or not it's okay to also have encounters in the astral plane? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, wow. You're starting off with a very tough question.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot that goes into that. And that's something that you really should talk with your significant other about, I believe. Like, don't keep it hidden if it does happen, and work out something. For me personally, I think that you shouldn't engage in anything with somebody that might be equal to or like a lower spirit than your partner. But if it is something alchemical for your own path, then yes, I think that it should be encouraged.
Oh, that's interesting. That's actually something that didn't come up during the conversation, but I think I know what you mean. So you mean, do you think that by doing so, you could actually, like, would it be like a vibrational thing? Like, you could mess up your significant other's vibration by engaging with someone with a lower vibration?
Oh, that for sure. Plus your own.
Oh, wow. That's
really, I mean, plus your own, because that's the whole idea of the whole incubus and succubus thing, that if you engage with a negative spirit like that, then you are going to deplete your own energy, or they will deplete your energy. And that's going to have lasting effects on you and also the people around you.
Wow. Yeah. And then I guess conversely, you could say that if you do it with someone that raises your vibration, it could actually maybe benefit your relationship in the 3D.
Exactly.
Could that be an argument? for infidelity.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if it's not a human. Like if it's a goddess or a demon, and something like that could actually raise your own vibration. if it's another human, just like a horny human that you meet in the astral, it's probably I would
not
say
as
like
excusable.
Not well. I wouldn't. Yeah, I would say no. We're probably not going to get as negatively affected. Probably no more than you would in 3D reality. You will still get some of their energy as well, which if they're somebody that might be not like on your level or at least like not a very virtuous person, then you might get some negative energy from them too. So you have to be careful.
I also think that it's interesting too, because if the person that you're with in this 3D world is not on the same vibration as you, or I guess not as, you know, as open spiritually as you are, I could see them not really understanding and, you know, almost possibly thinking that you're using it as an excuse, like, oh, this person is going to raise my vibration. Like, I can just imagine the conversation, like, you cheated on me, but she was a goddess. Like, I'm trying to help our relationship. Like,
I was just raising my vibration. Yeah, so that might not go over too well.
It's all pretty subjective.
Yeah, it's easier if you're with somebody that also astral projects,
right,
because
exactly.
Then they go through the same thing, and it's kind of like you just have to establish your own boundaries between each other.
Right, that's a good point.
But you should, I mean, you should never turn down a god or a goddess, though. I think that would be a bad idea.
Right, interesting. Good to know.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Well, that question actually leads me to another question that I was thinking of, which is, I guess, talking about maybe like hierarchies in the astral. So, are there like, you know, recognizable hierarchies or like roles amongst astral beings? Like, how would you approach? So, like, for example, if there was like a gatekeeping entity or a higher level entity, how would you approach even being able to interact with something like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have connection with a spirit that's above it, then that will help to override it. But also, like, you have your own identity, basically. So you have your own identity, whether it's in the 3D world, and also you have like your own astral clout too. So if you are experiencing a gatekeeper holding you back, then the first thing that you should think of is you might not be ready for what is behind the gate.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It could just be that they are holding you back for a reason and that there's something that you need to work on. But like I said, if you do have a relationship with a being that you can sense there is higher than this being, then you can name names. And then it's like going to a club and like the bouncer doesn't want to let you in and be like, well, I know this person. I know the owner.
Right.
So you name names. And sometimes I've done that and it has worked for me.
Wow. So is there like a password or like something like that?
VIP line.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I know this God. Like, you just have to be a Karen sometimes.
Wow. Yeah, that is,
I know this God. Let me in. Sometimes they'll do it.
Oh,
weirdly enough.
I'll try to remember.
Yeah,
that.
And how do you, I guess, discern what their intentions are? Like, if, you know, like you said, like if they're doing it because, you know, you aren't ready for whatever's there, or if, you know, they're just doing it to mess with you and have poor intentions.
Yeah, so that's something that you really need to have your intuition straight. Like, it's easier in the astral than it is in the physical, because in the physical world, there's more of a cloud, basically. It's more like it's easier to be deceptive in the astral, but in the physical. But remember, in the astral, it's a very emotional place. So it's easier to read in the astral because the matter is of a very subtle density. So so it's easier to tell if somebody's trying to trick you or if they have like a bad intentions or negative vibrations. It's a lot easier to tell in the astral than it is the physical. And some people are actually very good at telling these things in the physical, so they're even better in the astral. But even the people that aren't the greatest at discernment in the physical might be a little better in the astral, because it is a realm of emotion and intuition and psychic. It's like under the realm of the moon, so it's very psychic. Like, you can more easily tell, but you have to be conscious. That's the difference between the astral and the dream world. The dream world, you're unconscious. You have like your own thoughts creating the dream reality that you're in. But once you're in the astral, you're clear, you're conscious. So if you're at that stage already, then it's already easier to tell. Sometimes you can get tricked. I've been tricked. But yeah, it's easier.
Oh, wow. So then that means you're saying that you're more intuitive in the astral.
Absolutely. You have more psychical abilities in the astral.
Oh, great. That's so
think of astrologically what the moon brings. So the moon brings, moon is all about the mind, intuition, psychic abilities. So that's all heightened in the astral.
So for you, like, what would you say is your strongest sense of discernment? Is it like feeling, like claircognizance or sentience? Or like how do you discern when you're in the astral? I'm sure it's probably different for everyone, right? Because everyone has different like strengths.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So I generally just try to sense the feelings that I get. Mm-hmm. So that trust your feelings, trust your intuition when interacting with any other being in the astral. And like you can tell, because like you said before about hierarchies, you can tell when a spirit is very powerful or if a spirit is like a trickster type being that's like just has like alternative motives. The really powerful ones, if you are kind of thrust into their sphere and they're in front of you, at first, it's going to be really terrifying. So it's like not even, they wouldn't even be the ones gatekeeping most of the time. It would be lower spirits because if there is like that energy there, like it's like you wouldn't even want to have that. You wouldn't even want to go into that place because like, and when they do come, it's for a reason. Like they want you there, but you have to get attuned to their energy. It's sort of like getting inoculated against their energy first. So that's why a lot of times they'll send lower beings like that are closer to the human form or the human realm. And a lot of these are like possibly like spirits of humans that passed on or demons, even though demons get a bad rap a lot in the 3D world, a lot of them are really just messengers or intermediaries between humans and higher life forms.
Wow, so interesting. And I guess this is like a very general question, but in terms of like what you know about the astral plane, and maybe, I don't know if you can even answer this question, but like, is it something that just like exists independently, or is it influenced by like the collective consciousness, or?
Oh yeah, everything is connected, really. So just as we have our own world that's has its own existence and interconnected with it, like kind of like a web, is the astral plane and also other planes that are higher, like the mental plane and the spiritual realms above. Like if you go through the Kabbalistic tree of life, you'll see like a lot of different spheres, one on top of the other, like one inside the other, basically like worlds inside worlds. So you can really like penetrate the depths into these different worlds, but they're all interconnected. That's the thing. It's not really separate from each other, even though from where we are, we can only sense this one world that we're in. If we're in our, just like in our analytical mind, the only time you really go into these higher realms from the astral and above is when you really go into like a trance state or like meditation, or when your mind is kind of just still. Your mind has to be still, your body has to be not focused on its own senses. The senses really bring you away from the astral, your physical senses. So once you could bring your senses within, which is called pratyahara in Indian tradition, so you bring your senses inward so that they don't interfere, and you meditate, and then you could start seeing things, and then that takes you into the next world, the astral, and then from there you can go to even higher realms.
Right, that's why in the book that we were talking about in our first episode about astral projection, The Hermetics is all about
attuning yourself,
developing those senses inwardly, right?
Working with the elements and attuning yourself to the more subtle senses, because everything that you see in the astral, you still use senses, because you could still see, you could still hear, you could still taste, talk, smell, you could still do all these things in the astral. It's just on a different subtle level.
Right. Yeah. So that actually brings me to another question that I had, and really was curious about it. And I know, you know, this is more so for the purpose of our audience, because I know we have had many conversations about this, and you've actually shared some stories that really validated it with Nujan and I. But can you tell us about, like, collective astral experiences? Like, have you ever encountered other astral projectors or travelers, you know, in that realm that you know in the 3D world? And, like, how do shared experiences in general work in the astral realm?
Oh, yeah. So that was when I first started, I did something like that. We did an experiment, me and a few people that I met online. Like, we decided to just, like, meet in the astral just to see what would happen. So the leader of the group set a destination. She's like, okay, I spend a lot of time on this place. It's a different planet. I call it the purple planet. So, like, okay, let's meet there. So everybody just do your thing. Like, just meet me there. And, like, she gave us, like, a week to do it. I think we did it the second night.
Wow,
like, we were able to do it the second night. So it was very, and everybody was able to do it. Like, we all met there. And we all were able to see similar things. Like, it's weird because there was, like, five of us. Two of us kind of, like, saw the same things each other saw, and then the other two saw the same thing that the other one saw. So, like, two people plus two people, we were all there, and, like, we saw, like, the same type of thing. So I actually met my friend there that I never met before. Like, we ended up speaking for the first time the day after. She was invited, but by the same person that was leading the group, but I never met her before. I never talked to her before. And then we ended up sharing the experience the next day, and basically, like, we shared the same experience, and I was able to tell her things that she validated.
Wow.
And this was, and that time afterwards when we spoke about it was the first time we ever talked or, like, met at all.
So, in other
besides
words,
in the astral.
I was gonna say, so in other words,
we met in
met
the astral.
Her first, right, in the astral.
Wow.
Before this life.
Yeah,
this world.
Exactly. I met her in the astral first, and then in the physical.
That's,
and then
amazing.
We talked about her experience in the astral, and they overlapped.
Oh, okay, I have so many follow-up questions to this. So can you walk us through step by step how, like, obviously you had this plan to meet at the purple planet. So, like, how did you take that intention and actually make it happen?
I'm really interested in that, because knowing you for so many years in the 3D
world.
And I know
we've all joked about this so many times, like, oh, let's meet in the astral tonight.
Yeah,
right.
It's not easy.
Well, what I was going to say is, knowing you for so many years in the 3D world, I know that you don't have the best sense of direction.
Well, now we
know
why.
Plane. Yeah. So how did you manage to find this obscure purple planet? Like,
you set the intention.
Okay, I was going to ask, is it as simple as just setting an intention?
Yeah, you just set the intention and you keep going, like, before you go to bed. And I really have to credit the leader. Like, she's a very strong strong witch, so she was able to really, like, set the stage for everybody else to bring everyone together so that we could all kind of funnel into the same place at the same time with the same intention.
That's amazing. Wow.
But there was a lot of stuff going on. Like, I did stuff that I was doing this unconsciously at first. Like, I was, like, working with mercurial spirits and kind of clearing a passageway to a temple, like, really, really quick. And I think it was the woman that I told you about, or somebody, but one of the people that was there gave it, like, told about, like, seeing these spirits work really, really quickly trying to, like, get a temple ready, and that was one of them was me, because I remember
doing it.
Oh,
wow.
So that was one thing, and then going inside the temple, we basically saw the same thing, and, like, I was looking in the room. That's where I met the lady that we're talking about, and I told her that her aura is orange, and she said, yeah, that's true, because it's the sacral chakra, it's the feeling of joy. So, like, that's where I met her, inside that temple.
Amazing. Okay, so let's talk about the purple planet. What else can you tell us about it?
Okay, well, I was indoors in that temple most of the time, but so there, that was kind of, like, made of, like, stone and crystal, very tall. So that's one thing I remember from that temple. It was very narrow and very tall, kind of like an obelisk. Like what they had in ancient Egypt.
Right.
That's what it reminded me of, because it was a temple that was very vertical. So, like, very high, like, very awe-inspiring. As far as, like, the outside of the purple planet, from what I remember, it did have like a purple sky, purplish sand. And then other than that, it was similar to Earth as far as like the rock structures formation and everything. Very watery, like a lot of beach area because there was the purple sand.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what I remember from it. But the temple I spent the most time in inside, and it was absolutely gorgeous, like being inside a huge obelisk that like was just beautifully crafted.
Oh my God, it sounds amazing. Can we go tonight? So the other question that I was curious about, and you know, I guess people might be wondering also. So, you know, obviously you guys decided the night before that you were going to meet at the Purple Planet. So once you were there, did you realize like while you were in the astral that you were with the other people that you had planned to meet? Or did you guys like figure that out the next day, you know, when you were like sharing stories?
Yeah, because I think we all kind of found our way there. But we saw some of each other, but we didn't really know each other, basically. But I do remember seeing people and like talking afterwards. These were people in the party, in the group that did go to the planet. So I met two people there, and like another person met somebody else there. So like we all were there in our own way, like with not necessarily all meeting together at the same time. We kind of all found ourselves in that one area.
So interesting. So that actually makes me think of something else. So knowing that is possible, and obviously you did this, and I'm sure many others probably have too. Is it also possible to like, you know, set an intention collectively to do like grid work somewhere, like to meet in a certain, you know, area on Earth, or even like at a sacred site or something like that? Like, is that something that people do?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I have been brought there by spirits higher than me, like brought to certain places.
Wow.
To do rituals there and kind of like raise, like open up portals in certain places. Like,
wow.
I think the last time I did this was in the summer, like around July. They sent me to somewhere in France.
Amazing.
To do like some grid work there and to like open up a portal. And like I had to like, I instinctively knew what to do too. Mm-hmm. Like I was like drawing all these seals and sigils.
Wow.
And like I was with the priestess, and like she, like both of us knew exactly what to do. Like I was drawing sigils on her and like doing all of these like acts and like ritual stuff that kind of had that effect on the land there.
Wow. And can we actually, just in case people that are listening don't know, can you tell us what grid work means?
Oh, so that's more, so think of the
I think we could do a whole episode.
Yeah,
think
of like the plan, like the plan of the Earth, basically, and how certain points, certain areas have like different energetic frequencies than others, and some might be hard to describe. But I think think of ley lines, how some areas might just have condensed energies.
Right, almost like the energy centers of.
Yeah,
the Earth,
exactly.
Right?
Think
the
of
Earth,
like the.
Right?
Yeah, just how we have our own meridians and chakras that are central energetic points. You could think of the same thing on the Earth,
right.
Like specific points, specific areas that have like just very condensed energy, like centers, basically,
right.
Just like the chakras of the humans.
Yeah, and I know there's actually even like areas that they call like the heart chakra,
right.
Of the
mm-hmm.
Earth.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Like they map to certain places, and the ancient Egyptians and Greeks used to know this. They would put all of their like they would have like latitude lines and then build certain structures for specific purposes on those lines, so that each one was part of a grid, part of a ley line, and then they would like it would be like a harmonic. So they saw everything as like an octave, especially mm-hmm. the Greeks. Greeks, especially with the octaves, I think they learned it from the Egyptians because
right.
they kind of did the same thing. So that's why a lot of the big structures, the big cities, like for example, all of the like the oracles of the Greeks, they were set up on specific places, like on certain latitudes at a certain distance from one another, to generate like its own energetic frequency of
wow.
the octave.
Interesting.
That's how they did
wow.
it. Like it was like in groups of seven, like all within a specific array. And cities were planned too, like Egyptian cities
uh-huh.
were planned on those grids too.
Interesting. So my understanding of grid work, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there are like certain, I don't know, like stargates or plant like places on that where the grid has been manipulated to some extent, and that grid work is essentially like restoring the grid to what it should be. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. People are doing that because, right. Especially if things happen on one of these places that brings in a very negative energy, right. Like battles, people dying, and mm-hmm. stuff like that is going to really affect, like bring down the frequency of that area. So that's something that it's best to clear out. And then you get into the whole thing with like soul farms, where a lot of like the ghostly parts of the being after death stick around certain areas where they were traumatized, and that needs to be cleared out. So people do that work to clear the energy from there and bring those shades of the spirits, because when you die, there's like different bodies. So it's not like just when you're on earth, it's just one person. Mm-hmm. But then like when you die, your spirit goes, but then there's a part of you that acts like a shell that kind of sticks around the area, right. That's traumatized. Mm-hmm. And these are like the pieces that you need to integrate in future incarnations.
Oh, wow. So like soul retrieval in a
soul
way.
Yeah, right. That's what it's called. Yeah. Okay. Soul retrievals from like soul farms and things like that. Like Atlantis is a big one because so much crazy stuff happened in Atlantis. Uh-huh. So there's major soul farms where that happened, probably on the bottom of the ocean somewhere.
I've never heard of soul farms before.
I know. Interesting.
So, Mike, I actually have a question on that. So if you do grid work in the astral, does it only affect that realm, or can it also have an impact on like the 3D world?
Oh yeah, no, you do it because mm-hmm. you want to clear the area in the 3D as well as the astral.
Amazing.
So one overlaps powerful. With the other,
right?
Yeah, and there's so many stories. So the Indians are really good with that. Indians from India, like they have a lot of myths about that. Not who knows, they could be true, but they talk about like certain areas, certain regions where like something happened and it could go either way. Like something, like an area was either cursed and like everything like started dying, and then there's...
Right, I've heard that.
Yeah, and then, or the other way around, like a certain area was blessed by the gods and that area ended up being like very fruitful
like
for a number of things.
Reminds me of that.
So that actually brings me to another follow-up question, and then maybe after that you can go into one of your stories, Ryan, because I know you have so many. I would love to hear just some of those. But so it sounds like obviously you can do healing work, you know, for the planet, or like in grid work essentially, as we were just talking about. How about for yourself? Like, I've heard of things like, you know, med beds and stuff like that occur in the astral plane, so where, you know, places that people can go to receive healing for themselves. Can you talk
absolutely.
About that?
Yeah, because that's like, so that's one of the first things that you do, like when you start astral projecting, because we all have so many traumas,
right.
From like past lives, and so many from our childhood and adult life. Mm-hmm. So I've found that there are centers like that in the astral where we get healing, or we learn how to heal, and then once we get a little proficient and we start healing ourselves, then we could do stuff to heal others. Like I remember doing some things a few years ago. Like I was being trained kind of like, it was almost like a massage therapy, like on chakras though, like on certain areas, like to
energy,
alleviate, to energetically alleviate the trauma from certain people that got trauma from specific problems or specific types of problems. And like there was one, they showed these really specific things to do. Like one was on the legs, like the calves, like you had to do something with the calves, like connect it in a certain way and like move the energy around the calf. It was like it was definitely next level stuff, but it was done to heal others. And like because I had stuff done for me in the past, like I was being trained to heal others in like this similar types of scenarios. So it's kind of like going to a spa basically, and like people
so
come
cool.
there because they're traumatized, and then people that are more experienced learn how to actually like alleviate some of that trauma and fear. And
I think that we talked about this briefly in one of our episodes. I don't remember which one, but I would definitely imagine that anything that happens in the astral is very much accelerated, right? Compared to like how that healing would take place here in the 3D world.
Oh, that's
world,
a good question.
Right?
Like how long it would take to heal the same thing.
Right. Like, could it be 3D? Like instantaneous in the astral
realm? Yeah, definitely. It could. Yeah, especially for something like emotional trauma, people could wake up not knowing what happened, but they're suddenly in a much better mood and things might not affect them anymore.
That's crazy because I've felt that before. For sure.
And I think I think a lot of that has to do with intention too. Like if a person really wants to get to like a root of a problem and then they accept it themselves beforehand, they're like, okay, this is what caused this problem, but they haven't really integrated it all. So I think they start it in the physical because,
it's
not something that, I mean, I guess it could happen just spontaneously, but I think for the most of the time people initiate it first from the physical, like I want to do this,
like
I want to heal this, and then they end up ending up in like certain realms in the astral where they could undergo some type of healing and removal of that specific trauma.
That's amazing. Yeah, because I guess that would make sense why sometimes we wake up in like such a great mood and sometimes we wake up in just like a very negative mood and we can't understand why. Like, I've definitely felt
And the negative mood might be like if you encounter something negative that wants to steal your energy. So
So we talked about healing the grid and then now doing healing work on ourselves. And I have just one more question that came up because I'm thinking about a medicine journey that I just did where I found out that, you know, sometimes in medicine journeys you receive healing and sometimes you receive activations. Is it the same thing in the astral plane? And can you tell us a little bit about your experience with that? Like receiving an activation of some kind, I guess activation of like certain gifts or things like that.
So instead of like getting healing from trauma, you would actually like
something
activate certain.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of like if you're stimulated like into another realm, basically like more of like transmutation. Like if you activate certain senses, a lot of that I think has to do with like grace from your guides too, like they feel that you're ready to take the next step, so they grace you and that kind of like elevates you to the next highest level. Some people call them upgrades, so that's what they call the activations, the upgrades. So that is how I see that as working from my experiences.
Right, like DNA upgrades or I guess energy upgrades.
Yeah, well, DNA is physical, but upgrades energetically.
Yeah.
Yes, interesting. And I'm sure you've probably received many of those, Ryan.
Maybe, I don't know. I try, but yeah, you have to be in good grace. I've had my ups and downs, as you know, from the last Halloween episodes. I've had some pretty rough experiences too. It's not all fun and games.
That's true.
Not all fun.
Important
and games
to remember
in the
that.
Okay, so now I think it's time for us to get into some stories, like we had promised. So, Ryan, going back to our initial question that we started the podcast with about relationships in the astral. And, you know, this doesn't necessarily have to be like a girlfriend or like a physical relationship, but can you tell us a little bit about some of the relationships that you've developed in the astral? Obviously, the more interesting ones.
Yeah, because it's like, it's different than, say, like dreams where you can have just like random dreams and they could be totally different. You can have one dream one day and then another dream could be like the same dream happening over and over again. When you're in the astral, it's like, you meet certain people. Sometimes you meet them, like sometimes they could be your friends and your guide. Sometimes they could be spirits that are not even human, but like it's kind of like it's different because you're on a different level. Like you're each conscious of each other and aware of each other because they're from a different dimension, wherever that is, and you're sleeping, but you like your body's sleeping, but your mind is still active and fully conscious. So it's basically like you carry out a relationship as you would in the physical, and you can like meet these people and talk to them and over again because like it's all based on like your frequency.
Energy,
so your frequency attracts those that have that similar level, and like with guides and stuff, that's how you kind of attract your guides in the astral. Like you go to where you resonate with, and you resonate with certain beings in the astral. So like you can have relationships, friendships, even like sexual relationships with beings in the astral that you meet time and time again, especially for like specific periods of your life. Like it might change over time because you change and you become a little bit different, but you can have like relationships with some people that are, that you get very close to in the astral that you, that might not even be in the 3D world. Maybe they lived in, maybe they're like ascended masters and they lived like eons ago,
or
like
a different timeline,
different, who knows, because there's so many things that we really don't understand that we only can speculate on.
And so this might be a very 3D question, but like, how does that work? Like, let's say you develop like a strong relationship with someone, like when you go back to like your waking life, like, don't you like miss that person? Or is it kind of like, you don't really think about them unless you're in the astral?
Oh no, you definitely miss them.
Oh wow.
So yeah, no, because the energetic connection is there, and that's what's important.
I can imagine it must be like even stronger than like
exactly,
a relationship you'd have here. Right?
Because the astral is an emotional realm. So things are more intense. They're heightened in the astral. So you actually feel closer to people that you meet in the astral than a lot of times you do with people that you meet in the physical, unless you already have like a really strong physical connection with them.
Wow.
Like it's easier. It's quicker.
That must be like really hard to like reconcile. Like
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I guess obviously you have to be very ascended to be able to handle that and you know, somehow make sense of both, like the conscious and the astral state.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so I could talk about one of my experiences where I met like one of my astral girlfriends. And so it's like, this was last year actually. So she came to, I didn't know who she was in the beginning, but I just knew her as an Atlantean priestess. And she kind of taught me for a while, but I finally got her name and everything here and met the other priestesses, because at this time I was actually conscious, whereas the times before it was more of like a dream state where I didn't really know what was going on, but I remembered her. And spirits can talk to you in a dream. You're just not as conscious. Like you still get the downloads and you could still remember it if you're lucid enough, but you don't have that conscious ability like you do in the 3D world. Right. So like you can achieve more when you're in the astral plane because you can think of questions like your analytical mind is going too. So you can get information that you want. Like you could have like a really vivid dream and know that there's something about it that's very real, but if you're not conscious during the dream, you're not going to ask the right questions. So when you're in the astral, then your mind is going, like you can think, you can analyze, and like it's easier to really understand. And I think that's also an easier way to connect with people, because you're kind of in an in-between state between dreams and between the 3D world, mm-hmm. where you're still very active and like you can sense like you would in the 3D world, and you think like you would in the 3D world as well.
And I'd assume there's also not as many distractions, probably, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Because like it's all about being in the moment in the astral. Right. That's one thing about the astral, because if you're distracted in the astral, it's so easy to just like end up in a different place.
Right, I was going
to
say.
That happened to me a lot in the beginning. Like I would astral project.
With my ADD.
Right.
Yeah, like I would astral project somewhere and I would be so happy to be in the place I was in, and then I would have like another thought and it would take me somewhere totally different, or it would like, I would be in a totally different area and I'm like, no, I want to go back. And so when you're just learning, it's easier to like lose it in the astral.
Right.
A lot of people, like once they have that distracting thought, they might just wake up.
Right. I was just going to say, I think that's what has stopped me and probably so many people from being able to actually even achieve it
in
the first place, because you just, either you get so excited, like, oh my God, it's going to happen, and then you just snap out of it, or you get distracted by like a fear-based probably thought or negative thought or something, and then you're just not able to achieve it, right? So I guess you have to like hold that, like somehow find that frequency and maintain that frequency to stay where you want to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you have to really ground yourself in the astral. Mm-hmm. That's important. Like grounding in the physical is important. Grounding in the astral is important. That's why when I teach people how to astral project, the first thing I tell them is to get vertical. Because when you're vertical, you're grounded.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's exactly the step that I haven't gotten to.
I was going to say every time I come close, I'm always just still horizontal.
Yeah, because when you're sleeping, you're horizontal. Yeah. You're laying down. But once you kind of like switch to that vertical position, like once you find yourself in the astral, or like if you're in sleep paralysis, basically just like get up.
Right.
It's tough because sometimes you get up and then you actually stand up in the physical. But sometimes like if you are already outside your body, you're going to stand up and you're going to be in the astral and you can see your body still laying down. And once you're vertical, then it's so much easier to ground, but just like walk away from your body, because the closer you are to your body and your astral body, the easier it is to get pulled back. It's like you snap back by your cord. Wow. Like you have the silver cord on the back that a lot of people talk about.
Right.
And it kind of snaps you back into reality.
Yeah. See, like every time I can remember, either like a thing, you know, what I think was astral projection, which I've talked about a couple of times, I've always still been horizontal in my bed. There's just other things going on.
Yeah, for me, I've never
including
even
last night, which I
told and that
you
makes
guys,
it more difficult.
You guys about, and I can talk about later. But let's get into Ryan's story first.
Yeah, and sometimes you kind of transition back and forth because, like, if you can't hold your conscious thought completely, sometimes you might kind of hallucinate in the astral. So it's kind of like a mix between like a lucid dream and the astral plane. Like you don't
like
necessarily not well yeah it's kind of like on one hand it's kind of like if you're hallucinating basically, like if you're awake but you know you're hallucinating, you might see something that might not be totally accurate, but in a way it is, because it's where your mind is taking you and you're still aware of the situation.
Right.
So like you could see something and it could be like maybe something that is relevant for you because it's, you're seeing it for a reason. There's usually a reason for it.
Right. Yeah. That's, I think that the same could be said sometimes when we, like even in the beginning of like a plant medicine journey, for example, before I get really deep into it, or in some of my meditations where I'm like wondering, am I like making this up? Or, you know, is it actually like being shown to me? And then I know I've asked that question to different people and they always say like, even if you are making it up, it's coming into your mind or your presence for like a reason. So either way, it's obviously significant. So yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, so let's hear about your astral girlfriend.
Okay, so all right, so this was... this was on a Monday, which makes sense because it's the day of
Moon Day,
psychic. So I was in my old home with my two dogs that I had, and I realized I was in the astral, so I opened a portal to the upper world, and I asked to go to Bina. So for those that do not know, Bina is one of the three upper spheres. That is the third sphere in the Kabbalistic tree of life, and that's associated with Saturn and also the divine feminine, the Holy Spirit, power, thought, a lot of things. So it's one of the top three. It's one of like the triple Godhead. So there's a lot of things going on there, but it's the top part of the feminine pillar of the tree. So it has to do with power and mind, basically, the most. So the energy was too strong for me to handle. And a pair of lions, male and female, exited from Gajiel on the other side, the male, and Satariel, female. So I had like a male lion from, so Gajiel is on the primordial side of the sphere right above Bina, which is the second sphere of Chokmah, which is the sphere of wisdom. And Gajiel is like the primordial entryway into that. It's the cliffothic part of that tree. Cliffoth would be the opposite part of the manifested side. So that's like the dark part. So that's where you go through your alchemical initiations. Okay. All right, so I had these lions come out. So I had my dogs outside at the time. The lions went to attack them. I called the dogs in, and then they started to come back, but then it kept turning and barking. So I had this problem trying to handle the energy here because the lion energy was like attacking the dog energy. So it was like all crazy stuff happening. It doesn't always happen as planned, as expected.
And these were your dogs in the astral or the same ones that you have?
No, in physical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sometimes I find myself with them. I guess because I had such a close bond. One of them had a familiar energy. So like I had a very strong bond with them. So sometimes I will see their spirits in the astral plane or in dreams too.
I want to astral project.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got them inside. I sealed them in, closed the doors on the lions who were unable to break through. So once I had this stabilized, I then kind of like projected myself. I kind of meditated, and next thing you know, I was on an island in the middle of a huge party that extended for many acres of land. So this island was in the Aegean Sea, which was like a hot spot back in late Atlantis. Like they had like a lot of like I didn't know this at the time. Because of all my experiences on this particular island, I looked it up later and I just found this out maybe like a few months ago, like in the spring or the summer. But apparently during the times of Atlantis, they had these colonies on these islands in the Aegean Sea, where they brought all of these priestesses of Hecate, of the mother goddess, and like that's why, like the so for example, there's Thrace, which was the major hotspot for Hecate worship, and then there's Samothrace, which is an island in the Aegean Sea, where all of these priestesses were of Hecate were brought, and that's why they call it Samothrace, because it's like the new Thrace, and they established all of these temples there, and it was a very sacred land. The story goes that the Atlantean queen, Marina, was sailing to Egypt because they had like good relationship with between Atlantis and Egypt at the time, because Egypt was like the newer colony at the time and Atlantis was like the motherland. Mm-hmm. So the queen was traveling there, and she ended up getting into like a storm at sea, and like it was really bad, and she prayed to the mother goddess and ended up landing on an island, and she was saved, and she praised the goddess, and then she like established these colonies there so that they became like holy lands for the goddess. So that's how like everything started, basically. Mm-hmm. This is all based on Greek writings. Diodorus Siculus wrote a lot about the early relationship between the Greeks and the Atlanteans. So he has some really interesting work that you could read for free online. Okay. So that's what I found it. So he talked about the whole history of Atlantis and then some of the other colonies there. So I kind of went into that rabbit hole there because of these experiences, starting with this one right here. So I was on this island in the Aegean Sea, and I found myself in the midst of this huge party that extended for many acres of land, like throughout the island. Mm-hmm. So I watched over a port, and I saw a large dragon land on the dock and just sit in the sun, kind of like when reptiles sunbathe, except it was a dragon.
Wow. I love that.
So I looked, it looked like a huge lizard with wings, basically. It then flew north out of sight. So then I had some alcoholic drinks and I kind of walked around and mingled. I got to a place where people were playing a certain sport. Like, I don't think it's played anymore, but it reminded me of handball, where they were like, because it was against a wall. something like handball, where they were like doing something against a wall. So pretty interesting. I looked up in the sky and then started bird watching, and then somebody told me, stopped me and told me that I was looking there for 12 hours straight. So who knows how time works in the astral.
Doesn't sound that different than what happens in the 3D.
It is. Yeah, that is true. And time is really different in the astral. Wow. So time in the astral, who knows like what it's about.
Oh yeah, that was actually a question I had. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because time is very different there. Okay. Like, some people say that time doesn't exist in the astral, but
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, actually. But from what I've seen and also from what I've read up on this topic, time exists, but it's like you can go into the past and the future. So it's more fluid. It's not like thermodynamics linear, on in the 3D universe where time just goes in one direction. It's very fluid in the astral, and it's probably not, like, time is relative. We know that time is relative in this world, so it's even more relative there, like where you have like a dilation part.
Right. I was going to actually ask if time is non-linear. And the astral sounds like it is.
Yeah, and it goes forward and backwards, so you can go into the future, you can go back in the past, you can go into like parallel dimensions where time acts totally different. Because just think about like the past here, time is different, like the days were longer or shorter based on different situations. Like everything is relative, as we know from Albert Einstein's theory. Okay, so after this guy said that I was just looking at the sky for 12 straight hours, I remarked that there's always something to see and that I don't want to miss something interesting the one time that I looked down. So he smiled, went along his way. Then I had another alcoholic drink. That's one thing about me. I don't drink a lot in the physical, but when it comes to the astral, I could pound.
Wow, and I guess it doesn't lower your frequency then, right?
I don't think so. Yeah, especially with like my this Atlantean priestess, like they're always drinking. Wow. So it's very strange. And you feel
that's
drunk.
So funny. Really?
So you feel drunk. Like you don't get, obviously you don't get sick. Well, I guess technically you could get sick, but I've never gotten sick afterwards. But I do feel the effects of the alcohol, which is very strange and interesting. Because it is like something that you wouldn't expect in the astral plane. But not
when you wake up though, right?
I'm kind of discombobulated and then I snap into the 3D reality. But yeah, no, you can get wasted in the astral.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
So then I walked and then I saw a descending spiral staircase. I walked halfway down and I admired some of the artwork on the walls. Like I was just looking at the art because everything was really beautiful. It was like this downward spiral staircase and like I was just lost in the moment basically. Oh, that's exactly what I said next. I became lost in the moment, and then I accidentally bumped someone else going down the stairs. I looked and saw a woman, 30, short, wavy black hair. I somehow recognized her. I knew her name. Her name was Nicola. She smiled, stood next to another woman, and after I bumped her, she like teased me for it. She's like, "That's something you do to somebody you don't like." But then she smiled, like it was awkward, but she was smiling about it. But it's like weird because it's the same that would, it's just not too much different than being in the physical world.
Right.
So I shyly apologized, smiled again, said, and she said that they will be going somewhere quieter to hang out later. Said, okay, maybe I'll see you later then. And then I went on my way. So again, it's like, just like you're having
flirting.
Yeah. It's like, just like going to a party, hanging out, drinking. Right. And same thing happens.
Sounds
there.
Very 3D.
So then I finished descending the staircase and I had to use the restroom. So I asked the lady where it was. Like she was sitting on a sofa in the lounge looking for directions. She pointed and said, there's one at the end of the library through there. So I went through this big library. It was completely beautiful. And it was like one of those places that looked very cozy. That you could just sit down and read books and just really calm energy. Like it was really beautiful. Like this whole area was amazing. So like back then in like the ancient world, they had all of these libraries. Like people talk about Alexandria, but that's just one of the most recent ones. There were a lot more back then. They had beautiful libraries. They really cared about knowledge and passing down information. Yeah, so that was like a really amazing stuff just to witness from like my perspective on Earth now, like seeing how it is in the astral plane. This is kind of like going back in time, basically. So then when done, I went back to the far end on the other side, and then I gazed at a beach view. So I was kind of sitting on a staircase and like admiring a beach, like it was all ocean around me. But then I felt the presence of someone approaching me from behind. Before I had a chance to turn around, I heard a girl say in a very serious tone, "Hello, I'm Antisa." So then I felt a bit insecure again because I still needed to use the restroom because I couldn't find it. But I decided to hold up.
Like the 3D world.
Yeah, it was like, exactly. I decided to like play it cool and I stopped to talk to her. So when I turned around, she was with a few young people and then like a different girl began to speak. So she was shorter, slender, long, straight, light brown hair. and a wide mouth with a big smile. She said, "Hi, I'm Arispe." And then I got it wrong, of course. I repeated, "Oh, Iris?" She said, "No." And then she said her name again with a very slow pronunciation, Arispe, which I repeated, and then followed, "Okay, and she's Teresa." And then I heard in a mumble tone from the first girl, Antisa. So I got both of their names wrong. So even in the astral, you get stuff wrong. Wow. I got both of their names wrong, so that's not a good start. So Arispe pointed to a male friend who was slouching on the other side and then said that his name was Ephemerte. So then I said, "Oh, that's an easy one to remember." Kind of just joking, but they seem to take me seriously. So again, there's not that, just like the 3D world, you don't always get other people.
Right.
Like, you can make a joke and it'll be totally lost on somebody. There's not, even though I talked before about how a lot of things intuitive and psychic mm-hmm. and emotional, right. it's still not the really higher realms where you just instantly know what other people are thinking. There's right. still it's still kind of an in-between place between the 3D world and the higher realms. So Arispe then continued that she'd love for me to come out with them at twilight and party at the beach. So I agreed and then asked them if they could wait a few minutes because I still had to pee. Blaming the drinks that I had accumulated. So I'm blaming the alcohol, of course. She smiled and said, "Okay." And then so what happened was I ended up getting lost.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but the bathrooms were actually pretty cool once I finally found it. And they had these vines and stuff. It was interesting. Totally different than anything you'll see on Earth. But they had these hanging vines and stuff. It was really cool, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, so then I tried going back and finding them. And I did find the place that I was at eventually. But then the sun came out, and then the twilight. Oh, and then the sun was gone, and then the twilight hit. By this time, the lounge area was empty outside the library where I met them. So then I wanted to catch up with them, but before I caught up, then I woke up.
Oh wow!
But this same girl, I ended up talking to her several other times, and we ended up getting very close. So yeah, and. Last time I talked to her, last time I saw her in the astral, it's been a while, but it was this year at some point. So she's been a guide to me since then. I've seen her several times. Wow. I could always tell because she has a unique appearance, I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. She has that light brown hair with a very wide smile. Yeah, so I could always recognize her in the astral. So it's very interesting thing that you can just form relationships and friendships with people in the astral plane that you could kind of revisit, and then you could take it from there. It's kind of the opposite of dreams, where you have the same dream over and over again, or you have totally different ones.
Right. Wow. That's so interesting. And that was actually going to be one of my questions to you also before. I wanted to know, when you recognize people in the astral plane, is it on an energetic frequency, or you can actually physically see them and their characteristics? So you answered that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I answered that already. You could physically see them.
Wow.
Well, you could see them with your third eye, basically. I think that's the way it works. Okay. Your third eye can see them the way that your 3D eyes can see people in the physical world.
And are you similar to the 3D world? Well, first of all, do you look like yourself? And then
sometimes.
And then are you dressed in clothing, or are you just mm-hmm. A face?
No, yeah, you have your own way of dressing in the astral, and I don't know where the clothes come from. It's not you change. Sometimes, yeah, I mean, I've had dreams where I get dressed and undressed, but in the astral, you just show up with clothes, shoes. Wow. I don't know where they come from, but they're there. And I've thought about that sometimes. Why am I wearing shoes? I'm in the astral. they just appear. So maybe you're seeing something from the past, because we know the past whatever years right. we're on Earth, but we've had many other lives. Maybe we can right. maybe we're assuming a specific form, just like how like people, spirits can come to us in specific forms where they don't come naked. They come like right. dressed somehow.
I would assume it's just whatever's familiar to you, right? So you know
probably
how to recognize it.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not really, it's really a unique style of dress.
Oh,
like
really?
I'll wear like yeah. sashes. Like who wears sashes?
Oh, really? Wow. yeah. So it seems like it's like from a different
another
era. Time or yeah. era, right?
But at the same time, sometimes I will wear clothes that are similar to what I wear in like now that wouldn't right. be around back in the past. So, you know, you can't really tell it's a crapshoot, but wow. you just like see it, notice it and be like, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting because it seems like it's a lot more like the 3D world than I initially thought, because I was actually also going to ask about like eating and drinking and if that's
yes.
like similar.
You get effects.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you get similar effects, if, you know, you can actually like taste things or like, do you
can,
know, like,
yeah, things can taste bad. And
right. Like part of me didn't even like, you know, I guess I never really thought too deeply about it, but part of me didn't even really like sense that you would need like food or drink in the astral
yeah,
realm.
I don't know how it works, because maybe you don't need it. Maybe you just eat because like to get pleasure from eating. Who knows?
Right, exactly.
Like
it, maybe things, yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just things that would bring you joy, I guess.
Could,
in
yeah.
this world translate over to that. That realm also.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. That's mm-hmm. something that I haven't really thought about, because I know that in the astral I do eat, but it's I'm not hungry.
Right.
Like you eat stuff, but you're not necessarily hungry. It's more for like social eating, I guess.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I guess
like
that's
social drinking.
Just what people do at parties.
Yeah.
Eat and
when
drink.
You go to your astral parties, you just have hors d'oeuvres and have a drink and a drink or two.
That's so crazy. Wow. Amazing. Okay. So I know we're actually, wow, we're already over an hour. That seems to go by so fast. So maybe we can do one more really interesting story. I know you have so many and like, but I actually think we're definitely going to need a part 3. Maybe where we just talk about stories.
Could be, yeah.
But let's do one more story. I don't know. I guess I'll let you pick what you think is, you know, something that is our listeners have to know about.
Okay. I guess like the one that's really speaking to me now is, since we're talking about like recognizing people in the astral, like there was one thing that I was talking with you about before, you and Nudrat, I was mentioning how like this was really something that totally surprised me right before we went on this podcast, because I was looking back to like years ago when I was having these experiences, and then it brought back something that hit me from like 2022, how it tied everything together, and I just realized it by going back and reading this one experience I had back in 2020.
Oh, wow.
So I think that would be a good one to end with then.
Okay,
so
sure.
And there was this one's actually... a lot of stuff happened here too. So this is like on multiple levels, there's going to be some crazy stuff going on that hopefully will entertain you. And let's see. So, oh, actually this is a new moon, and it was a Friday. So Venus day, new moon.
And you said 2020.
So this was in the spring.
Interesting year.
of 2020. So first I was in bed, and then I noticed like activity around me. Like I noticed a man and woman around me when I was in my room. At first, I thought they were my parents, but they weren't. So like I saw a sigil of somebody I know, and then I saw a sigil of my goddess as well. And the sigil of my goddess, I saw like overlaid over my heart. The motherly figure sat to my right, and the fatherly figure went to my left. And they collected wooden glyphs or seals from the floor. So I didn't recognize the seals or what they were, but the man said that he's going to put them to good use. Let's see. So then I personally kept the other sigils on me that they didn't use. So they left, and then a powerful presence emerged. So gripping me was this large, dark, amorphous, and extremely powerful energy. And there were also several equally powerful orbs, black orbs filling the room, whose presence I sensed. So the first being started to reorient my body in a very precise way. slowly moving my feet and legs into a position of its choosing, and then following with the rest of my body. So it kind of like oriented me in a specific position. I think that goes along with what we talked about before with like different ways of like managing energies, like we talked about on an earth level, but obviously there's a human level too with all the chakras and meridians. Mm-hmm. So I was being repositioned, but I felt the energy and it felt like my goddess. And I asked if it was her and she said yes. And as she did, she sent a charge into my body so that I absolutely knew that I was her behind her, behind it, because it was her energy. So then I asked the being that was gripping me, which was a different being, if it was like this other goddess that I'm close with, a crocodile goddess. So I felt an intense charge of electrical current surge throughout my body and into my third eye. So that shouldn't have been enough for me, but of course, I'm always a skeptic. So I then asked her for another show of presence to be 100% certain. And then next thing you know, my soul and my astral body were immediately ripped from my flesh and tossed across the room onto the floor, only to be slung back into my body. I said, okay, I see it's you now. So that's imagine like how disoriented I was. They would just finish like positioning me in one way. It was like being like in a massage clinic or something. Like, okay, we're gonna put your feet here. Next thing you know, I'm like thrown on the floor, the room. So I found myself on the floor. I'm like, what happened? And then I kind of like went back into my body, but I was still in the astral even though I was in my body. Luckily I didn't wake up, because that's something that could easily wake you up.
And
I said before, it reminds me of the scene in Doctor Strange, which I hadn't even seen that movie yet, but once I saw that, I'm like, oh, that's exactly what happened to me, where he gets hit and he leaves his body and then instantly comes back. I'm like, yeah, I've experienced that. It's not fun.
Wow.
So when I was in the proper orientation again, all the orbs left. A male spirit then stabbed me in the forehead with a spike-like object and started carving through my skull. So this is another thing that happens in the astral, especially with me. It's really? Like an Atlantean. Yeah, that, because they kind of like, especially in the forehead, because that's your third eye, they're trying to really like loosen you.
Oh, okay, so it's a good thing?
Yeah, they loosen you up. Okay. I asked him for his name, but he was silent. I felt intense pressure and pain in the area he was operating on. Eventually, I did feel my pineal gland become stimulated by the procedure. I kept asking his name, like, so what's your name? I told the spirit I knew what he was doing. Again, asked his name. And then he finally told me that he's an Assyrian spirit, like from Assyria. And his name is Ukin, U-K-I-N. My third eye was completely open, and I freely and triumphantly jumped out of my body into the astral plane fully now, because my third eye was completely open. My forearms extended and palms out. Ukin, another male spirit, and a redheaded female spirit then brought me into a different room. And this room was actually filled with like weapons, like swords and stuff. And they propositioned me to take one. I looked at a circular rack that was filled with knives, swords, and all sorts of scythe-like objects that could be held in hand and other weapons. I admired one sword that was like a samurai sword, but then backed up and said, look at my body. Does this look like a warrior's body? I'm a healer. If there is a war, I am fit to give medicine to the sick. One of the men spoke out and said that my work for the moment was complete and I was free to go. One of the men stayed with me as a guide and then just like had me walk and follow him. I exited the room I was in and then I went outside. And at this point, I saw some people that I recognized. They recognized me, smiled. We talked, we laughed. Then I said I had some business to attend to. And then at this point, I didn't really have anything to do. So for whatever reason, I decided to go to Detroit, even though like...
of all places.
Yeah, of all places. And and like the area that I was in was kind of run down and dirty. Weather was dismal, foggy, misty. And I'm like, why did I come here? So I went straight and entered into a building. Let's see, I scanned the building, recalibrate. There's something in the astral too. Like you get lost very easily, or because sometimes you like walk around like, where am I? Why am I here? then found myself on a shoreline after this near some piers where there were some busy trading ports. So now I'm in a totally different place. The whole area was very beautiful and teeming with industry and services. So I was like looking at the birds fishing, of course, over blue water. Now it's not nighttime, but now it's the daytime because like the whole time thing is like out of control. Wow. So the whole thing was giving me a positive feeling though. Like it was very like soothing to watch the birds fishing and a nice ocean area. A lot of times in the astral, I'm by the water. So I said, I'm going to stay there and I'll provide healing services and I'm going to like build some stuff. All of a sudden I became like an entrepreneur and I wanted to build like an apothecary there. I'm like, this is a beautiful place.
I hate that.
Yeah. So then like I was told about an event where several, so this is like the next thing that I had to deal with. So during my service, I was told about an event where several gods had died, or so I was told. And it was in this general area. One day a man came into the apothecary that I saw. And I think this is where I'm like, I start to like zone in and see stuff. Like maybe it's something from the past. Maybe it's like something that they wanted to show me. But they showed me a man talking to me while I'm like doing work in this same exact area where I was standing. And he occupied a large chunk of my time. I kind of got annoyed at him because he wouldn't shut up. But then after that, I kind of realized what he meant by saying that the gods died there. They were not dead per se, but they were quarantined behind a veil, kind of like the mental matrix that we have because we can't see them, and they could be resurrected again. So they're dead, but they're resurrected, kind of like the whole Osiris thing where Osiris was killed, but then he was resurrected, and he became Lord of the Dead and Lord of the Living, too. So I went to a shrine in a region that they were said to have died and saw the names of some of the hidden gods. So interestingly, one of these hidden gods was a goddess named Jasminea. So in here I wrote, I remembered having a connection with her in the past. And this is what really like set me off, just seeing this before, because I did a ritual in 2022, and two spirits came to me, these two gods from another constellation, and one of them was named Jasminea, and I totally didn't think of this. Yeah, I totally didn't think of this at the time that she came to me then, because that was the first time I met her, and like I totally forgot about this event that I had, but that was definitely her, like seeing the name, like how many Jasmineas are there? It's not exactly the most common name there is. Yeah, so then like a bunch
of... Such
a
pretty name, too.
Yeah, it is a nice name. And then like after this, I met Thor. He came as like a reddish-haired man. And he started teaching me like stuff about Mercury. Let's see. As if the planet spiraled into a timeline with indefinite Mercury retrograde. That's how he kind of described our world now, where everything seems like a bit backwards. It's like an infinite Mercury retrograde.
That's so funny. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, where the virtues of the planet were usurped and indefinitely replaced with vices. So now we honor vices and we look down on virtues. So this is what Thor was showing me now. And then he vowed to engage in spiritual warfare to once again bring truth to the planet and overcome the lies and the illusions of the tricksters that have now conned their way into comprising the ruling classes. And he wanted me to be very steadfast and vigilant in my pursuit of what is good and what is the truth. And that's how it ended. And then I woke up.
That's so interesting.
Or got up.
So you made a connection between... that and something you said that happens later in 2022.
Yeah, so in 2022, I did a ritual to Hecate to basically, it's a ritual that's, so you work with Lucifer on your left and Archangel Michael on your right, and then like you invoke Hecate so that you could basically like open the eye of Hecate, and that's what really opens a path for you. So that's where I met this specific goddess that I learned about in this astral travel 2 years before. So yeah. This is when I actually met her. Like, I saw her. I knew where she was from. So, and then she started teaching me along with a male spirit that she was with for an extended period of time, maybe like a few months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm sure I'll see her again. But like the way it goes, like you get taught certain things. And then once you learn, once you incorporate those lessons, then you go on to the next thing. And but because right. I haven't seen her since I think early, maybe 2023. But I'm sure I'll see her again since I learned about her back in 2020 and then first saw her in 2022.
So I guess back in 2020, maybe you just weren't ready for what she had.
I think it was kind of like they were preparing me for it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't ready, but I was being prepared for it.
Right.
Interesting. Wow.
That's crazy.
It's crazy how that things the lessons continue for that many years.
Oh, yeah. Time is like nothing to the spirit.
And maybe like here it seems like a long time, but in the astral realm, it could
be it's like a second.
One day to the next, right? Or a second.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. I mean, I was staring into space for 12 hours.
Right.
So.
Right. True.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I mean, I guess the only thing that we could kind of have that we can compare it to is like being in like a really deep meditation where like you don't lose track of time or being in like a plant medicine journey again where like you don't really have much of a concept of how much time goes by. So yeah, I mean, basically being taken to another dimension, essentially.
Right, where everything also happens much faster.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, like Nujat mentioned in the beginning of the episode, Ryan literally has four books.
Yeah. I think I'm thinking we're going to need a part
that's
three.
That's what we were saying when you stepped
away. Yeah. I have a lot
before.
More experiences. I just realized how many how many more experiences I've had with like alien beings that we've had our own show with that. And now I'm like, as I was looking through before, I'm seeing all of these other ones that I forgot about too.
Right. You just showed me and Jace before the three nights back-to-back of alien
that was a tough
alien
one
experiences. So I think that one definitely has to be
that could be its own show by itself
discussed on a future episode. Jace was a little terrified reading that. I hope he doesn't have nightmares tonight. No, I'm just kidding. No, but seriously though, I think we are definitely gonna have to have a part three. And we would, of course, love to hear from our audience, too, you know, in terms of, like, if we do have another episode, you know, any questions that you have that you want us to answer, any topics that you would like us to discuss, you know, we definitely would love to see, you know, what else you guys want to know about astral projection. So, yeah, I think we went pretty long today, so we're going to wrap up today. But once again, we definitely will. We have some other exciting topics that we'll be getting to in the next couple of weeks, but I think we'll definitely come back for a part three sooner rather than later and answer some questions from our audience. So yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. I hope that we were able to answer some of your, you know, more advanced questions. And again, there's so much more to discuss on this topic, so we definitely look forward to having you join us when we're back for part three. But in the meantime, we'll be back next week with a new episode of Spiritual Shenanigans. And of course, please continue to support us. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Thank you. Until next time.